Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Mulan from Once Upon a Time.
Oh my god.
Mulan and Aurora were in love, you guys.
Yeah, and then like in many cases IRL, Mulan gets left alone and Aurora goes off with some like jackass.
I mean, it's not, he wasn't like a bad guy. He just was like not her. He wasn't her. Yeah, no, I mean, even the actress Jamie Chung like was telling everyone back in like 2012 that like, hey, I had this, like, I actually believe Mulan is in love with Aurora.
I think,
like,
their characters. I think they still kind of kept that canon. I just don't think that they just didn't let Aurora reciprocate.
I don't. You
think it seemed pretty good.
It seemed like, I know, dude. Like with Maya.
I mean, they didn't go and make Mulan straight.
She was gay.
I think so.
I don't think they did anything gay with her character. Honestly, well, I think
But they didn't do anything straight with it either.
No, they didn't. But I think like Disney just didn't want to. Like, I think they were scared to make like huge princesses queer. Like Aurora and Mulan are huge. Like Sleeping Beauty and Mulan are like huge so princesses.
The other ones that they did make queer weren't huge.
Like they weren't. They were like side characters. They weren't major princesses. Like when you think about it, like Sleeping Beauty, Mulan, Cinderella.
So it's like a Xena situation where like she's gay, but we're never gonna say it.
Correct. That's Mulan. And Aurora was totally in love with Jamie Chung character Mulan. So.
Such is my life.
Fuck you, ABC, for not trying to make the queerest fucking character, Mulan, queer with her girlfriend.
Yeah, let's not even jump into that whole Swan Queen thing.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, rude, you know what I mean? Like, the whole thing seems really rude. What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona?
Dude,
what's up, girl?
Hayley Kiyoko, feelings is what's up.
Oh my god, that was shot so beautifully too in one shot.
And then Alexandra Rodriguez, like, slayed.
Oh my god, I die.
My soul, like, it's in pieces. It's flown. It's doing all kinds of shit.
It's beautiful. It's so queer. It's so like.
It's a great shot. Like, honestly, the whole, like, it left me like a bit blue ball-y because like. Nothing happened at this. She just got back in that car. But anyways, for those of you who haven't seen Hayley Kiyoko's new feelings video, you need to get
your
life.
Go get your life. Like,
pretty sure we've tweeted it out already, but we'll retweet it again when this episode comes out.
And her love interest is a character from East Los. It's like this Hulu series about like Latinx people in East LA, and that's amazing. And we'll talk about that in a later date.
Like a full episode because it deserves it.
It's a great show. It's so queer. It's so woke. It's so. Everything we love about that, what could be like a good Latinx show.
Yeah, me and Fred Papita are fighting about who gets to cover it. I think I'm gonna give it to her because I want to do a movie.
Cool.
Soon.
You can do a movie,
but I'm still gonna be like all up in that conversation.
I'm still gonna be all up in whatever conversation you're in too, because
because we have like no boundaries.
No. What fun would it be if we did though? Like, that's whack.
True. Dude, but I love that she keeps kind of like, even in Sleepover and like her other music videos, she keeps putting in POC women and they're fucking gorgeous and it's amazing.
Oh, I mean, she's POC.
She's POC herself, yeah, but like, still like.
It's realistic to like.
Have more, yeah, like.
Like everyone in her videos.
I've been in a ton of relationships with women of color, like, that are not just Mexican, you know what I mean?
Same.
So I'm super stoked to see that.
Yeah, like
I love it.
Like, in reality, you're not always going to be dating, like, the same kind of person over and over. Ideally. I don't know what y'all doing out here, but.
Anyways.
Yeah, today we have a really, like, scary episode.
It's going to be, like, a week after Halloween, but. You done, Penny? It's going to be after Halloween when this episode comes out, but. I don't like to let go of October. I love October.
No, I mean, I don't know if I like Halloween. I don't like being scared. I don't like horror movies. So
well,
this was like
for me, Halloween
really
is,
hard for me.
For me, Halloween is like all about partying though. And like nightlife and getting cold and dressing up and being gay. At the end of the fucking day, being gay as fuck. Putting on your disfraz.
I mean, like, that's like every day. Like,
not for me.
No.
I love it. And I
think I was more excited about it when I used to like go out more and party more. Like now,
I love theme stuff. I mean, last night I had
my
party.
Oh my god! You okay, guys? She had in the middle of the year a half Halloween costume party.
Yeah,
it was not even Halloween, and she
was
like, we're
halfway.
Gonna have a half
we were halfway to Halloween, and I really wanted my roommate to dress up as fucking
Garnet.
No,
oh, it's as Belle from
Beauty and the Beast. We will post a picture of that up.
And he did. And it my was best magical. Friend did.
My best friend was Garnet. Yeah.
Oh my god. You dressed up as Steven. It was a gender bender.
No. I didn't dress up as Steven.
You didn't dress up.
I was Steven? Han Solo.
Han Solo, but it was still a gender.
You're a
bender.
Goldfish, I swear.
I'm Dory in real life, you guys. I can't remember anything.
No, but what I was talking about party wise was last night. I was like, everybody needs to come as, like, I was being so fucking extra for my little going away party.
You had a themed, like, going away party.
I had to. I was like, Texas versus California, choose your side. You know, like, I was like walking around with like a all Texas Vans. Flag cape. Like,
with all Vans on. Everything
Vans,
California.
Vans sweater, Vans shoes. Yeah.
And I showed up in a sombrero. It was lit.
She was like, well, what used to be part of Mexico? Texas and California.
So I'm just going to show up Team Mexico. And I did. I showed up in my, like, real authentic Mexican hat from, like, Guanajuato. Like,
my family's weak as fuck, man. They all just showed up with, like, Cowboys hats. I was like, ugh.
I think I was the only one with the sombrero, right?
But it was pretty lit. I wore my Cabronas y Chingonas shirt. Shameless plug, teespring.com/CYC podcast. Now you can say something.
Wait, what? Oh.
Girl.
Goldfish. I just completely forgot what we were doing right now. I was just like, huh, da 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 da.
But yeah, I was wearing my shirt. I was super excited. I got it on Friday.
And I got you a chingona pin.
Oh my god, that chingona pin?
Yeah,
looks perfect.
It's
on my new jacket.
Her name is Jessica Guillen. Guillen, G-U-I-L-L-E-N. And it's Jessica with a K. Well,
you bought it from her at a show?
Yeah, I went to this art in Pan Dulce show that they had in Oak Cliff. Me and Joe went, and we went there without cash because we're stupid. Like, part of the sign said to bring cash. And me and Joe were like, well, you know, fuck it, like, 21st century. And we didn't think that, like, you know, this is like an anarchist movement, like, fuck society,
fuck Texas,
fuck capitalism, fuck Texas. And then we went, and I was like, fuck, I don't have any cash, dude. We can buy like four things. And one of the four things I bought was my the chingona pin,
which was fucking dope. We'll probably post up a picture or something
for sure. And once I get my cabrona pin, she's making cabrona pins soon, and it's at what? Jessica Guillen. I'm so sorry, baby girl.
I'm pretty sure it's Jessica Guillen. That sounds
Guillen,
right.
G-U-I-L-L-E-N. but yeah, shout out to you, girl. I'm gonna buy a cabrona pin whenever you get one. And yeah, today's a cool episode. We're gonna be doing
well, speaking of buying like awesome shit from awesome Latinx artists, Molcajete Dominguero is like a monthly event in LA, and because of them, luckily for us,
yes, for us,
we are able to attend the fucking first ever amazing Podcasterio Fest in LA on November 19th.
That's
guys.
A Sunday, you guys. That's a Sunday.
Sunday
before Thanksgiving, I think.
Something like that. Yeah. So we're going to be in LA, downtown LA. It's like the LA Plaza de las Artes or something like that. I don't know. Find us on Instagram. We're on CYC Podcast. We're going to put all the information there.
And we also have it on our Twitters,
yeah.
Which is
and so many
CYC
amazing
Podcast
people,
too.
So many way better people than us going.
Yes. Yeah, they are.
So like,
shout out to who else is going to be there? Like
Latinos Who Lunch. Radio Menea. I found out that they were going.
Dude, yes, of course. Like,
and then
they
our
the
friends who are
chat.
Local here with us, De Colores Radio.
Colores is
going
to go.
I'm so stoked that they're going up there. That's
I'm
so
excited.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I'm so
wait.
Stoked to like be in LA, like living in LA when this
oh
shit
God,
happens.
You are going to be living in LA.
Yes.
I'm going to go to LA for the first time, dude.
Me too.
You too. You're going to live there. That's so
I'm
wild.
I'm
going
to go there and just stay forever. So that's coming up pretty soon, but I'll already be there when you guys hear this episode.
Yep.
But yeah, please go there and we'll
go
give
see
you
us.
Stickers.
We'll have stickers and working on other
working
things.
Working on getting some other stuff for you. Yeah. It was pending. But yeah, so hopefully we see you guys there. And today, like I said, it's still a horror because we are not ready to let go of Halloween. What do you got for me?
Yes. So fun fact, I'm doing like kind of a Spanish Dracula. It's not called Dracula, but little history behind Dracula is that the actual actor who played Dracula back in the original film, like 1930, was actually Latino. The main actress was also Latina. Like, there's so much history with that, and I think Latino USA did like a whole thing on it, or Remezcla. We're gonna shout that out too and put it out there for you guys. So get your history, horror is like originally like Latino. Like this shit's so lit.
Yeah, La Llorona, bitch. Well, come on.
Duh. Like all this, like all the, like, muertos, man. All the folklore and mythology of like our people is like fucking terrifying and scary. Like el pinche, what's el otro? El cucuy. Like el pinche cucuy. Like shit's wild out here.
Oh, like, my god, tell me what I read, like the funniest fucking tweet this morning. Mm-hmm. Where you probably saw it too on Twitter, where it was like Mexican parents will believe in La Llorona. But they don't believe in mental illness.
Yes, like, yes. Fucking,
I woke up this morning just dragging my Mexican parents. Like,
yeah. Well, not my. I mean, my family members. Like, it's really weird. Like, my mom grew up without that superstition.
Oh, okay.
Because my abuela was a curandera, mm-hmm. And so shout out to grandma for feeding her family, and she found a way. Okay. Shout out to everybody out there who feeds their family and finds a way. But straight up, my abuela was like scamming people, you know.
Joanne the scammer is shook.
Abuela the scammer. She was curing people of their ojo. She was like, my mom used to help her, and my mom's like, yeah, it was complete bullshit. Like, your grandma did this shit so we could eat. So, of course, and she would make me help her. So
what if she, like, didn't know, but she was actually like, doing that stuff? She was
maybe my grandma was, that. Like, a legit curandera, really curing people.
She's like, I'm just fucking bullshitting you, but she, like, healed, like,
maybe she, no, people. She was, like, the local curandera. Like, she legit, like, if someone needed something, they went to my abuela, and she would hook it up. She'd give the shots. She'd cure your ojo. She'd cure the demons that took hold of you. Like, shout out to abuela. Feeding her five fucking kids by scamming the local neighborhood. Okay. But maybe she really was a curandera.
She just didn't know.
And my mom just like rolled her eyes because she had to help her. You know, she was just like, I'd rather be playing. Yeah, we, what, eye rolls?
I eye roll all the time with my parents. Constantly. I'm a terrible child.
But maybe, you know what? Shout out to the real curanderas and also my abuela for feeding her family.
Yeah.
Any way she could. Yeah. But yeah. So
Dracula's Latino as fuck, but yeah. You know, I fucking love it when, or the fact that, like, kind of recently horror has developed into, like, or tried to kind of go away from its let's kill the black person first thing. Like, it's trying to get away from that. It's yeah. Still obviously there's so many faults in it, but like it's one of my favorite trash. Yeah, one of my fucking favorite like movies ever, because I love horror and I know you
it's
don't.
It's also my least favorite genre. You hate it so much,
but I forced you to do this episode.
She had to tell me which ones to watch.
I told you, like, yeah. I was well, like, no, you got one by yourself.
I got one all by myself, and it was also the strangest one, so I would never do it again.
please take my
but shout out to Remezcla again, because that's where I found it. Like, they're just constantly giving us like
good shit,
the information, the good yeah. Shit for our people. Like, shout out to them.
No, but yeah, like, I remember, you know, I was watching all the horror movies. Like, I've just been watching all the horror movies for like as long as I can remember. Mm-hmm. So imagine my motherfucking surprise when I go and watch Paranormal Activity, the marked ones, and it is the most fucking Latino fucking film ever.
How so?
Like, okay, it's based on a Latino family, so like they mm-hmm. live in California. Don't ask me
of
where.
Of course, they live in California.
Well, yeah, because I mean that's where the other
formerly Mexico. Yes.
Well, that's where the other more. That's where the other paranormal activities are kind of based off of. So it starts off and it's this kid, he just graduated high school, and the family is so proud because you know how it is, first generation kids, like your parents are,
shout out to us,
yeah, first generation kids with the parents that are working their asses off doing like some bullshit job,
cleaning offices, yeah, or houses. Shout out, and mom, then love you, mom.
And the well, it's just his dad because his mom died giving birth to him.
Oh, or so he thinks.
Yeah, but it like ends up being this whole fucking, it's
fucking
thing.
Gotcha, dude.
No, but like it ends up being like a whole like thing. So
a thing.
Yeah. So he lives in like a little apartment and like this little like very, you know, ghetto type of apartments. You know what I mean? Like those.
Okay. Don't say ghetto, girl.
I say ghetto because it reminds me of where I grew up.
We're past that word. The hood.
Okay. Well, it wasn't that. I wouldn't call it the hood. It was low just kind of like it was low income. It was low income. There you go.
It's okay.
It reminded me so much of where I was kind of like raised up until I was about six.
So where I currently am, yes.
No, because you live in a house like this. I'm talking about apartments. Like this,
oh,
this, like,
oh yeah,
apartments. So these were little apartments where all the neighbors kind of know each other and they know about each other, and little kids play in the yard, and no parents need to be around because everybody knows each other.
Yeah.
So it was one of those kind of things, and it was so Mexican. Like they're speaking Spanglish. They're out on the streets. You know what I mean? They're making. They're talking like I talk. You know what I mean? Like these kids look like me and they act like me and they're hilarious.
I had all these things in my head when you were saying that, but I'm not gonna say that.
Well, they're boys, so this is based on like two guys, that are like super best friends. And it's so funny. What shook me about this fucking like Paranormal Activity specifically, because other ones aren't that funny, but they are kind of scary. But this one's hilarious, dude.
Okay, but I have this thing where horror has to be kind of funny because this shit is kind of ridiculous.
Be. Yeah.
Like,
No. I'm talking about like it was funny, like in an actual comedic way. Like the scary stuff wasn't funny. Like it just had comedic parts in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was funny, and it was about this family, and they bring in all these like elements, like La Virgen María, and like
you got to.
Whenever one of the guys starts getting like possessed, basically, spoiler alert. But he basically starts getting possessed, and he gets like these weird powers as soon as he turns 18, and he finds that he can do all this kind of weird shit, and he starts like, apparently he can't sleep at night, but he doesn't remember being awake and stuff like that. So his grandma's super worried about him, and she does all the stuff like, you know, the egg cleanse, she does all this kinds of stuff. But it's fucking, there's a specific scene where she's doing that egg cleanse, and he's like not taking her seriously, and he's being an asshole.
Oh, is she doing the ojo?
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's doing that, like, cleanse, like, they go to a curandero, and, like, they ask
her. They go to my abuela.
But it's at, like, one of those stores that sells, like, a bunch of, like, spiritual stuff.
Oh, okay.
So they go there, and they get advice, and that's when she goes home, and she does that little, like, that little thing that he suggested, and the fucking dude that's possessed by the demon, her grandson or whatever, like, grabs the egg and like, smashes it with his hand, and it comes out black. It's like,
that's intense as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it's not supposed to be that. Like, exactly. It's not supposed to change color like that. But yeah. FYI, y'all, it don't change color. Like, when you're doing the ojo, you know, the egg is not supposed to be black.
It's creepy. So, I mean, it's a very great contrast because you have so much fun with it in the beginning. They go out to the parties and, like, do all kinds of, like, hook up with girls and, like, you know, they're kids.
They're normal.
But yeah. They're Mexican kids
that doing live normal shit.
That live in low-income communities that all know each other, and they get along, and they have the Spanglish going on.
That's really cool.
It's beautiful. Like,
it's, like, normal. It's, like, yeah, bitch.
It's real, us.
That's
it's real life. Like. Yeah, and it's very California and stuff like that. So I loved every second of it. Like, to see that in, like, a major horror film, you know what I mean, was amazing.
And they said that Latinos are like the biggest consumers of like horror movies, right?
Or movies period.
Movies period. It's, yeah, Latinos that
we
go,
love it.
That
we
are dedicated that to the movies. I mean, I'm not one of them, but there are a lot of
you are dedicated to movies.
I'm dedicated to like the indie Latino movies. You're true. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I watch those religiously.
So I mean, just to see that in Paranormal Activity, the marked ones, by the way, which came out in like 2014. It was so amazing. And then, of course, it like ends up tying into the other Paranormal Activities. But they, what was fucking cool as fuck is because, you know, whenever like you see these white people in the other Paranormal Activities and you're like, oh, you should have done this, you should have done that. Man, if that was me, I would have brought my friends and all our AK-40s. That's exactly what they did.
Wait, what?
They went and like
God bless America and their obsession with guns.
They had a friend who was like a super gangster, So he went and like got a bunch of his friends and a shitload of automatic rifles, and they showed up to this fucking place where they think that, like,
so they came ready.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
I like
still
that.
Of course, because this is about witches. Yeah. No, it's about witches and demonic
shit.
Oh
hell no, I don't do witches.
Yeah.
Mm. Blair Witch fucked me up for my whole life.
Yeah, so it was like witches and demonic crazy shit, like. So of course they stood no chance. They just flung them into the air and shit like that. So that's where it was super scary, and it kind of ends up, it ties in directly to one of the other movies. But I don't know. They talked about all kinds of demonic stuff. Like the reason that he got possessed when he was 18 was because 6 + 6 + 6 = 18, and the reason that his mom died at birth is because some witches got together and like cursed a bunch of pregnant mothers. And like their firstborn sons would be a part of their evil army to like take over the world. Yeah, so it
take
was
over the world.
Yeah, like
the fuck,
it's fucking crazy.
Hell nah.
So it's like these crazy little Mexican dudes getting into some bullshit that they really shouldn't have gotten into, essentially. But they had no choice really, because the kid, I mean, he was marked. He was the marked one at birth,
like Harry Potter.
Well, no, because that's not even at birth. That was like a few months into his life, but yeah.
He was the chosen one, though.
He was the chosen one.
Like Harry Potter.
But no, this guy's like the marked one. And it was super, it's super creepy, and it's hilarious, and it's everything that I could have ever, like, I could watch that movie every single day. It's amazing.
Really?
And if you're not into like the scary shit, like, just watch the first half, and you'll love it.
Yay, I'll watch the first half.
Because it's super entertaining. It's so cute.
I get into movies and I watch them, regardless of how terrible they are, and you'll realize.
You have to see it, and then you have to, like, live tweet me. You have to watch it and live tweet me, because okay. It's so good.
What is your second one?
My second movie that I'm going to talk about just briefly, because it's been a little while since I've seen it, is called Hush. Let me see when it came out. Oh, I found it on Netflix. It had like a really good rating on Netflix, and you know that's rare, because scary movies don't get good
they ratings. Don't? Yeah, that's why I don't watch scary movies, because it's usually low budget, like...
Or even if it's not low budget, it's like just cheap. It's cheap thrills type of thing.
Yeah.
But this like one, like, let's to kind of put it in perspective, a good movie to me, like, it ends up getting around a 7 on IMDb. But typically, most of your horror films end up in the 5 to 6 range. This movie got a 6.6. So it's pretty damn good for a horror movie. This horror movie, Hush, came out in 2016. Like I said, it's on Netflix. It's fucking amazing. And it's about a writer who kind of lives like... in a very secluded area, and she's like in the middle of some woods and shit, and she's deaf, so they kind of incorporate a lot of things that deaf people might have in their home.
She lives in the middle of the woods though.
You know, like, but I mean, that's how she writes, like, that's how she's comfortable.
She went out into the woods to live deliberately,
but that's her, you know, like, just whatever. I would do it. I'm okay with dying.
I'm not going all Henry Thoreau out in that shit. Fuck that.
But it's super cool because they have, like, you know, whatever. They, like, incorporate all these things. Like, this is how a deaf person lives, and it's really cool to see that. I don't know. Whatever. And basically, she gets tormented. There's this dude. He goes to, like, her next-door neighbor's house and basically kills her neighbor. And, like, it's kind of a sad scene at the beginning. And you're kind of like, what the fuck are you trying to say about deaf people at first? Because it's, like, this super tough scene where she... the neighbor gets killed, like, right outside of her door, so she crawls her ass over to her, like, deaf neighbor's house, and, like, she's, like, knocking on the door, slamming, or, like, these are glass doors, I believe. She's, like, knocking, banging on the doors.
She didn't feel the vibration or anything?
No, she didn't hear it or whatever, or I think she was just screaming, I can't remember for sure.
She's deaf, so...
But basically, like, you can see her through the window, like, trying to get her attention, but she couldn't get her attention because she can't hear her.
And she couldn't make the noise to make the vibration. Because you can even feel a vibration.
Yeah, no, but I think it was far enough in the house that she wouldn't have been able to just feel it from that distance. So at first you're kind of like, damn, like, that fucking sucks. But then I guess the killer who, like, he's not in it for money or anything like that. Like, this dude just likes to torment women. So he...
Which is realistic.
Yeah, I mean, like, not all of them are just in it for the money or whatever. No, this dude like he, I guess he somehow realizes that the woman...
Wait, the money? What money?
But like, you go in and rob somebody. Oh, like, he broke in to kill her, not to rob her. So he has this mask on, and he like realizes whenever, like, because, you know, she's screaming and he's watching her scream and not able to get her attention, he realizes, oh, this woman's deaf, I'm gonna make her my second victim for the night. So he starts tormenting her. And all around the house.
So this dude kills one person, gets away with it, and then he's like, oh, you know what? Fuck it. Let me kill two people tonight.
Yeah, like, he only plans to do one, but he's like, oh, this is an easy target. So that's what's kind of cool about this movie. It's like, he, like...
Assumes.
Makes this assumption. He makes an ass out of you and me. He assumes that he's gonna, like, have an easy target, and he's gonna have a great time, and he's gonna do all this shit. But this is, like, the smartest fucking woman ever. Like, she's a writer, and she's super fucking dope, and she has... So, I guess it's this house probably had to be set up this way, where there wasn't a lot of other houses around, and there was a lot of glass, so she can see through it, which makes sense for your day-to-day life. But it's not great for when you're trying to run away or hide from a killer.
No, hell no, because they can see your every move in the house.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Which he loved, so he was in it for the thrill. He wanted to torment this woman. So he's like, you know, he's in this mask, and he's like tormenting her, and he's going after her, and she's like locking the door. This woman is brave. Like, where most people might have just been like shook and like they crawl into a corner, hide somewhere, this girl like ran towards him to the glass doors where he was at, ran towards him first thing, and like locks the door and like goes around chopping through the house.
So is it like a woman taking back her power?
Kind
like
of
a, like a differently it's, abled it's, woman it's, taking back
yeah,
her power.
It's like a differently abled woman, like, who is presumed to be a certain thing, presumed to be weak, presumed to be an easy target, and she proves him so wrong. Like, she just, like,
okay,
the entire
time.
Okay, I like
time. It. Does it have a happy ending?
Don't, okay. Everybody close your ears real quick. Okay. But, yeah, like, yeah, it does.
Thank you, God. Yeah. I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah.
I love good endings. I mean, happy endings, not good ones.
Yeah, so, I guess I wouldn't say happy, but, like, she, like, you know, like, she proves her point. Like, she's a strong woman. She beats him.
You know fucking what I mean? Love that. So she's a chingona. She's a cabrona. She's a
fucking badass, dude. Like, I could never. I could never. Like, yeah. I would die instantly. So, yeah, like, he, like, has a fucking crossbow. Like, this dude is really into. He has a fucking crossbow. And, like,
a crossbow?
Yeah. So this dude's sick. They're, like, they're running around all over this fucking house. Like, they're going up on the roof. He, like, shoots her in the leg, and she can't run on that leg anymore. She, like, stabs him.
The fuck?
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. So he manages to kill one, you know, woman who can't hear and is, you know, whatever, abled, like, whatever, abled. And
differently then, abled.
Yeah, and, well, no, like, this woman, she's not deaf. So, okay. and then he kills his husband, too, who comes looking for her and, you know, whatever, like, runs into this dude and he tries to attack him. So he kills both of these people, a couple of them. He
kills two people.
Two of them. And then this deaf woman just, like, obliterates this dude, like, amazing.
That's so exciting.
So
I'm down.
This, like, this chase, you know what I mean, like, this back and forth, like, you'd think it'd get boring because it lasts quite a while, like a good hour of it is them just,
but I mean, that's shout out to the director for making something entertaining,
but they made it good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is a really impressive so for
like
a movie.
Suspense, it's not really like horror.
I mean, technically it's kind of like a slasher, so I would still classify it as horror. So I thought that was super dope, and I thought, because horror in history basically has always kind of reflected what a society is sort of feeling at that time. For example, like, slashers were whenever people were had a lot of fear about people breaking in, like Richard Ramirez doing all that bullshit. Like, that's what kind of like this slasher era was kind of about. Whenever we had like Hostel and Saw, is because we
sleepaway camp
was way back then. That was just transphobic, and that was probably based on like some sort of crazy shit that went on in real life about camps. So, I mean, yeah, so there's just a whole bunch of, like, basically horror always kind of reflects a society. And I like that because this is from 2016 and this movie kind of reflects current
fears.
Well, and it reflects how our society is kind of progressing.
How so?
Because, like, we're now, like, we're taking mental illness seriously. We're taking differently abled people seriously, gay people seriously. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that that's kind of cool that it kind of reflected that. It was just kind of like, no, women get to pick up their power. Like, people that are differently abled, you know, are perfectly capable, essentially. And, like, fucking A, essentially. I gotta take a drink real quick.
Mm-hmm. I took my drink. I was like, essentially, yep.
So, I don't know. I love that about it so much. Like, yeah. And this witch stuff, I'm still kind of curious where that came from. Like, sometimes you can't see what the society has an anxiety about until like later
in retrospect.
Yeah, like I feel like maybe 2020 I'll figure out why we're so into witches and ghosts and Annabelle.
Yeah,
I think I've got the 2000s figured out as far as horror with like Hostel and Saw and all of those movies. I think I figured that out. Found footage, that one like was the anxiety about the internet, the found footage stuff, like Paranormal Activity and like Blair Witch Project.
Oh my god, Blair Witch Project fucked with me.
Yeah.
Okay, what was just an aside, what was that? Why am I so scared of that movie?
The found footage stuff, like I said, I think it has to do with like art, like with technology. Like,
well, that society was like in the year 2000 or some, yeah, shit. Like 1999.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so the early 2000s type of horror. That's where I think that comes from, because we were starting to really be exposed and really be into the internet and electronics and cameras and stuff.
So we're scared of cameras? I'm scared of cameras.
We're afraid of what technology is going to do. It's Black Mirror, dude.
Oh, God.
So anyways, I fucking love horror, as you guys can tell by my rambling. So what did I force you to watch?
Oh, God.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to give my cafecitos real quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your cafecitos.
So no cafecitos for fucking Paranormal Activity, the marked ones that'll keep you up.
I might watch that. Yeah.
None. I'm convinced that movie
to watch it. Yes. Is that on Netflix?
I don't think so.
All right, I'll find a way.
Yeah. And then Hush, I would probably give like half a cafecito. Maybe, like, both of them, I think, were amazing films and they were great representation.
Just a half a cafecito to binge watch both of them, right?
They're good. They're like such good movies.
Okay. I haven't watched them, or else I'd give my...
I'm all about fucking representation in horror film, dude. Like, everybody can die.
Everybody can catch this blood.
Oh, you motherfuckers can catch these hands. Bad girls
blood. What do you mean? Oh, God.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. But anyways, so I was forced to watch Sleepaway Camp. I wasn't forced, but...
It's so trash.
It's hilarious.
It's so trash that it's like so turns funny around and becomes entertaining.
It's hilarious. It's like a dark comedy that didn't mean to be a dark comedy. So a little history on the movie is that the director, this movie, oddly enough, was a passion project by the director, which I find interesting and creepy. His mother passed.
It's pretty old. You want, what's the year?
It's 1984, 85. And it's actually, for it being so low budget,
it looks good, yeah. I mean, it was still shot on film, so.
It was pretty bad. And I don't mean plot like, wise, maybe. So it was made in 1978, I believe. It actually beat out Yentl with Meryl Streep and Amityville Horror 3D.
Dude, because horror always, like, it seeps into our, like, it's about our anxiety, so we have to go see it.
So
like,
I guess in the 80s, I think it was 83, their anxiety stemmed from transphobia. Trans people. That's not a good thing to be scared of, is just trans people. This movie is, like, trash. The guy dedicated it to his mother, and there's a lot of weird mother figures
there
in this movie.
There is a lot of weird mother stuff.
Like, his mother passed, he used the money, and then made this movie by himself. And he still did really good box office. And this is still, like, highly rated on TV. And, like,
this is, like, a long
highly recommended by everyone.
Thing. Like, the reason that I watched it and studied it mm-hmm. was literally one of my college professors, like, made us watch it and stuff. Like, I took a horror and sexuality film mm-hmm. class. And
oh, that's why you're so into it, though.
Yeah. Right? Well, that's a part of it. I was into horror before that. Okay. But that's why I kind of know about it.
Okay.
But I took that class, and Sleepaway Camp was one of those movies that he showed us, and he was just like, look at this inherent, like, shit that's in it. You know what I mean? Like, just...
There's a lot of things going on in this trash-ass movie.
But I still fucking love it.
The thing about the movie is that it's not like he meant to, like, do these things on purpose. It's just kind of like me with my queer eyes in 2017 is looking at this... trash
it does not
movie.
Age well
it well okay
you get to kind of see what
I don't think
were.
The themes I mean the 70s are kind of terrifying, like the more I watch this movie, the more I realize I'm really glad I was born in 1990, because if the things that are laughed off in this movie I take seriously, like I'm talking about maybe the first 10 minutes of the movie, like child rape is introduced.
How does it start? Like, so just a little intro.
It's okay, so it starts off with the main character and their sibling in a boat with a father, and they die in a tragic skiing accident, like not skiing, like a water skiing accident, and
the main character is the only one that survives.
The main character Angela is the only one that survives. It's confusing. There's a little boy and a little girl on a boat with a father, and
they, like, there's one survivor.
And only Angela survives.
There's only one survivor, and then
only the character Angela survives.
And then Angela gets sent off to live with.
8 years later, she gets sent off to sleepaway camp.
No. But, like, she gets sent off to, like, live with another family after they die.
Yeah, Angela gets sent off to live with, I believe, her tia.
Something like that, yeah. And then, like,
Her tia is, like...
Her tia and her cousin, I guess.
Her tia and her cousin, Ricky. Now, the thing about her tia, she looks like some, like... I'm assuming creepy. This whole movie is, like, shot in New Jersey or New York. Like, New York State.
So, it's the Northeast.
They have the coffee accent, the Long Island accent. I can't do it, but coffee is definitely in there.
You really can.
And... The mom is the creepiest lady I've ever seen in my whole life. Like, the lady makes asides to herself out loud. You know, it's like a play, but, like, not, because it's film and it's a movie. You know, like in Shakespeare when they, like, talk to the crowd, you know?
It's, like, so dramatic.
The bitch is talking to you, but to herself. It just, I don't... Anyways, we flash forward to 8 years. Angela's older. She's going to sleepaway camp with her cousin Ricky.
Sleepaway camp is, like, one of those, like, kid camps where they have counselors and all that bullshit,
you know, like what is it, Parent Trap, like
kind of like the beginning of that movie.
It's been like the summer at camp, like,
summer camp, there you go.
It's a summer camp.
Yeah, that's it.
That was really difficult to explain and it didn't have to be.
We're not white, we didn't go to that.
I went to YMCA camp.
You went to
I was the only Latina. They called me Cece.
Was it overnight and all that?
Hell no, girls, 9 to 5.
That's what I'm saying.
Pick up your
about,
kid.
I'm talking about a real
take
summer
your kid
camp.
Home. Like
shipped off to a lake somewhere.
Never been
shit.
Shipped off. My mom is Mexican. You think she was gonna let me sleep somewhere?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Strangers?
Like, we're Mexican. Like,
not even my family members.
I feel like somebody
cool.
would have had to maybe explain camps to me if I hadn't watched movies. Like,
oh, okay. I always fantasized about going to sleepaway camp, but now I don't because of this movie. Anyways, you flash forward. And a lot of the themes in this movie are like, I'm not for it.
You see a lot of hands, like random hands and stuff like that.
The scenes that weren't supposed to be funny were hilarious, and but the scenes that were off-putting were the scenes that were laughed off. So I'm talking about in the first 10 minutes, you see a head chef with all the other cooks in the kitchen. And of course, they're all like, you know, people of color. They're black and Latino, I'm assuming. They're black and Latino looking, indigenous looking. And the only white guy part of their kitchen crew, of course, is this creeper. He sees a bunch of little kids, and the first thing he says is, you know, I love fresh meat. I love Baldies. And he's assuming to little girls that I haven't hit puberty yet. And it's the creepiest shit ever. And like all the other cook that's next to him just laughs it off. Like, oh, that's so funny. Rape is hilarious. Child rape is just, and I'm just sitting there disgusted. Like, yeah, they're fucking serious?
They were pretty bluntly like horrible people. Like
trash ass human beings in this movie. That's why I'm saying, I'm like, it's dealing with a lot more than just like now with my eyes, the things that were laughed off that were not part of.
I mean, they're pedophiles. Theme. Like, that's what they were. Like,
no, well, just one of them was a pedophile, and the other guy.
The other one was laughing with him, so he's a pedophile too. Okay. By association.
By association, yes, you're true. You're right, but so that was really off-putting to me, and it was one of the first things I recognized. I wasn't with it. So Angela is sent with these new girls, and Ricky is her cousin and super protective of her. Like, Ricky is like super. I love him. Like, he just cares about someone he grew up with, and it's supposed to be his cousin, but it's more like his sister at this point.
He's so kind.
He's only kind to Angela.
Yeah.
Because he's like her big brother. But
I
mean,
to me, that's like what's important. You know? Yeah. Like, I never care about, like, I'm gonna.
He's kind of a dickhead to everyone else, as naturally. He's like the Bart Simpson of the movie. Like, he's doing mischievous things. Another theme in the movie is that literally all the guys, whenever you shoot to them, like, whenever you cut away to the scenes where the boys are in their, like, dorms, they're always, like, having fun, like, doing, like, pranks on each other. And the
girls are just, like, super serious.
No, no, and the girls just, like, fucking hate each other. And I was, like, white women, 53%, this is why we can't have good things, because y'all hate yourselves. You really do. Even looking back in
this movie. Why did you hate Hillary, guys?
Yeah, white women. Why? Like, you couldn't have just did it for us. We're going to lose everything.
Not all white women. Anyways,
no, but in this movie, yes, they hate each other. There's only like one good camp counselor that always got Angela's back, because Angela is low-key a mute, and I don't blame her. She's like, her family passed in front of her. She saw something really traumatic and tragic, and now,
well, we find out later that that's not the only reason that she kind of keeps. That's not
the only reason, but the plot twist is at the end. So, you know, they're kind of bullying her for being weird and quiet, and she also has a staring problem. Like, she just stares at this other girl, Judy, who's, like, kind of developed, kind of bitchy. Like, she's kind of, like, the popular girl with boys because she, like, hit puberty.
Once again, kind of, referencing
another something. Something else going on that's deeper with Angela. Later. Yeah. So Angela's kind of like, whoa, like, you hit puberty? She's a little curious. She's like, what's going on there? Anyway, so Angela gets bullied by Judy, of course, because Judy's like, bitch, why are you staring at me? And white women hate each other.
Bad Girls Club.
But no fight breaks out. So anyways,
People, you know, die.
Six, seven. You know what's so another many. Interesting thing is, like, we hit on another thing. Another giant theme that, like, gets overlooked often is capitalism. Like,
damn, you really read into this.
No, dude, there's so many themes in this movie. Like, the only thing that this camp owner cares about is, like, his bad publicity and his money. Literally, let me see how many people died in this fucking movie.
You wrote it down?
Oh, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 8 people died, and he didn't get concerned until about.
Oh,
one,
yeah. Two, no, they three, were so four. Trash.
Like, 4 people died.
Like, for today, the camp, like, one person dies, the whole thing is shut down. Everybody goes home. You're gone. You're
yeah,
done.
If one person, like, ideally, that's the way it should be. If I my mean, kids like, at a it camp, is now. Back and then. It, like, okay, so the first person that gets offed, because this is a slasher film, is the creepy, rapey chef guy. He deserves it, but he didn't even get killed. He just, like, gets scorched, he gets maimed. The motherfucker doesn't even die. And out of everyone, trust me, he's the one that deserves to. He tried to rape Angela within, I don't know, he barely met the girl and was already unbuckling his belt. Had Ricky not come in and saved his sister, like.
And the fact that, like, that motherfucker would have been reported, he would have been gone, he would have been in jail, not for long enough, but he would have been.
Yeah, and in this movie, all he does is get burnt. Like, the one motherfucker that needed to die did not. But yeah. Anyways, so this motherfucker gets rolled out.
Yeah, people start dropping like flies.
No. So the head chef dies first, and then like a kid gets... Okay, so Angela after that, like... You know, I would be shooken up, and she's just kind of the same. She's just a mute, continuing on. Like, I don't know if someone just
you don't question it like a whole lot because you're just kind of like trauma. She's traumatized. She's traumatized.
She's already traumatized, so you're assuming okay, this bitch already been through something. But trust me, if had someone almost tried to rape me, I wouldn't be that normal either. Like she doesn't get weirder. She stays the same. Yeah. Anyways, we continue on with the movie. You guys, 8 people
died. I recall, like, it's been a while, but I recall, like, people just dying. Like, they just keep getting sliced up.
Yeah, yeah.
So they start dropping like flies. All right, go on.
So Angela is continuing to get bullied because she doesn't want to go swimming or do, like, the regular activities with everyone else.
Another reference to the future.
Keep the future.
Put that in your mind.
I mean, I wouldn't want to go swimming either. I mean, she...
Man, I'll do it. I'm just going to do some shorts and some shirts, but, like, whatever.
Okay, so they're making fun of her for not going swimming, but, like... Doesn't anyone have any fucking compassion? Like, she lost her family in the water.
But they're like, okay, that was 8 years ago. Can you fucking get over it? That's probably what they're thinking.
Yeah, but, you know, people weren't sensitive in the 70s since obviously they're totally, like, child rapey and, like, hating themselves. Yeah. Like, women hate themselves. Dudes are just having a good-ass time in their fucking bunks doing dumb shit while the women are stuck worrying about what men want. And that's so stupid and so problematic. This whole movie... is trash, by the way.
That's why it's such a topic to pick apart, because there's so much there.
Like,
there's like so much. It's like you could like cover a whole fucking genre with that movie of things you shouldn't do,
of things that are wrong with like movies and
people. and the thought process that people used to have and some still have
currently.
Yeah.
Ugh, that shit's not normal. Like, I'm looking at it and going, this movie is wrong. And that's not why for the, it's not for the murdering part either. It's just what the people think are normal in this movie.
By the way, they made sequels to it, and then they made like a sequel,
which
sequel.
The director was not for. The director actually said those were trash.
Yeah, they made a sequel and then a sequel and then a sequel sequel where they ignored one of the sequels and like finished off the story from like one of the previous sequels. It was like it's crazy. It's
weird. I don't
understand. Yeah, you'll have to like look at it. It's like Star Wars. Like, why is it episode 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3? I don't know.
So, I mean, every death in the movie, I don't even want to get into them because there's so many. There's a few that matter. So, Judy's bitch ass, because she's been... Judy and another counselor that have been bullying our precious angel, Angela, who just, like, minding her business, staring at people. But that's really... She's not doing anything wrong. She's existing. The bitch just is. Like, y'all ain't gotta bully her for being a person. So, those bitches die. And I kind of...
So, those bitches
die. What I find interesting about when those... Like, I hate them. When they die is that, like, apparently... The killer is super strong, okay? So this is the most hilarious death in the movie. There is the camp counselor, Meg, is taking a shower against a wall. Because when I take showers, I lean against walls, right? Because that's how you clean your back? No, fuck that. Anyways, this bitch is taking a shower right next to a wall, and the murderer gets a knife and stabs it through the wall and goes down. Now, can you imagine how hard it is to stab through a wall and then into a human and then drag down? Like, that, to me, that just didn't make any sense. I was like, either this person is fucking Superman or Wonder Woman. Like, someone very strong is killing these people, because you're choking people to death in boats. I think
they exaggerated it because they really wanted it to... like be obvious that, oh, it's not a woman doing this, because that's some 70s mentality right there. Like,
that's
a woman could never be
even
that strong.
A man can't stab through a wall and then into like a human.
I was just in New Orleans and a bodybuilder kept like squirting like fucking syringe jello shots into my mouth. Let me tell you, these bitches are strong.
Yeah, but
women
was,
can do.
Yeah, but was a bodybuilder going around? There was a very buff people in
a
the
very
shortest
buff people.
Shorts I've ever seen in my life.
It's the 70s.
It was like
New
bulge
Orleans.
Everywhere.
New Orleans is
like,
the 70s.
It's so unnecessary. New Orleans. No, like these shorts, let me tell y'all, like they stop where their penis stopped. And I was like, why?
It's the
70s. Why in the 70s? Why were you such trash? Like,
ugh. That's when like the basketball shorts were super short. Remember
that's
that?
That's exactly what they were wearing, was basically whole... Anyways. It's gross.
Enough of lesbians being disturbed by penis.
Yeah, basically. And we can kind of skip to the end, because there's unnecessary deaths. There's unnecessary deaths left and right of people just, that bully just know Angela.
Just know that they have, like, basically the only thing you really see from the killer is, like, the hand sometimes.
You get so every time the murderer kills someone, you're getting the POV of the murderer, and so what you see is their hands. Or yeah. You see the person they're killing, but you don't see them.
Right.
And I thought that was interesting and also hilarious.
Fun fact, because I think a lot of people suspected that Ricky was the killer, or that's what they wanted you
Everyone
to do.
They wanted you to believe it was Ricky or Paul.
Yeah. So Paul fun. Was so the fun fact. Of Angela. So fun fact for me, anyways, is that the person that whose hand that was in those shots.
It's a body double.
It was Ricky though.
Yeah.
It was that actor's hand.
Yeah, because Angela, the actress who played Angela, said, "I refuse to be the person, even in the scenes, to kill the people."
Is that why? Or is it because
she refused? She said her mom was like, "No, we ain't about it." Like,
that's like why they don't want her to see that.
They said that they didn't want her to be part of it, like her physical form to be part of it.
Well, I think they wanted to use Ricky's hand that also because it's a boy's hand.
True.
I'm pretty sure that like that was their intention.
Tons of people die. Somehow the camp is still open. In the very end, the camp owner, Mel, who's also a creeper, who's into younger women because that's a theme.
Men are trash.
He tries to kill Ricky.
In the movie.
Because he suspects Ricky of killing that camp counselor. Because Ricky is like 11 or 12. No, he's like 14. Because a 14-year-old scrawny boy apparently is strong enough to stab through walls.
But not women.
What? Oh, no.
It's sarcasm.
Sorry. Oh, right on. Right on. He's so strong. So he like beats up Ricky towards the end. Doesn't kill Ricky though. Shout out to that. But Mel is trash. But Mel gets killed. And the funny thing about every person that gets murdered is that they always look at the person like, oh, it's you?
Like, I know.
They always seem kind of shocked that, like, oh, you're the one killing people? Like,
so fucking, let's just go super spoilery for 60 seconds. And if you guys don't want to hear it, tune out for 60 seconds starting.
Okay, so let's go back to the very beginning of the film. It starts off with a little boy and a little girl in the boat. So what actually happens is that the girl and the older man die, and the only one left alive is the little boy, Peter. Now, Peter gets adopted by that crazy lady we also see in the beginning who's really weird. He gets adopted by her, and then she decides she wants a girl, and so she raises Peter as a little girl and renames Peter as Angela. So Angela has actually been Peter this whole time. But, I mean, when it comes to, like, being trans, like, he's now, I don't know if, like, she's now Angela by choice or if she still has, like, some Peter, like, some Peter left in him or her. Like, I don't know how she is gendering herself. Do you know how she's gendering herself, Maite?
I think that's why it ended up being such an interesting film for trans people, even though, of course, at the end of the day, it's offensive as fuck and it's transphobic as fuck. It ends up being so interesting because it leaves identity as such an open-ended question and it starts a conversation. So I think that's why it ended up intriguing so many people and being kind of like a fan favorite in a way where it's like I love to hate it. So it's really open-ended, and I think that's why they had to try to do the sequels, which ended up being trash and stuff like that.
Yeah, my only problem with it was, like, the consent part from everybody in this movie. Like, I don't know if Peter was okay with being Angela. I don't know if Angela preferred to be Angela. Like, this was forced transition. It wasn't like Peter saying, cool, I feel more comfortable as Angela. Or Angela saying, maybe I want to be Peter. No, this was forced. So this is a very confusing, interesting film. And I give it, like, for being interesting and entertaining, I give it like 3.5 pan dulces, which is a lot for it being complete trash. But if you want to see a movie and kind of get some kind of in-depth, like, see it the 70s, like, I don't, fuck the 70s. They're trash. I don't want to be in the 70s ever. Like, if it was like that and that shit was laughed off, I want no part of it. Like, fuck that.
Yeah, vast majority of older, really any film, end up having all kinds of transphobic, homophobic bullshit. Always, but it's still such an interesting movie to a lot of people.
Yeah, and that kind of ties into our theme of like people being differently abled, people being queer, and them just being seen as other and scary and horror when really like we're fucking normal. Like, and trans people are fucking normal, and like you shouldn't force people to transition. Like, that's, it's a very confusing film, but what you read into it and what you get out of it is really what's more important than the actual film itself, probably. Like, the fact that this movie came out of a passion project and was just so strange and dedicated to his mother, like, I'm confused.
Definitely don't think that he intended to bring up a conversation that is this important, but it ended up happening.
It did.
Just probably because, like, you get a person to make, like, a shit person to make such a shit movie and put all these things in it, then it's just kind of like a study project of, like, here are all the things that are wrong.
Yeah, it's like a time capsule of what was wrong with the 70s. Like, or actually, I think it was 83, 84.
You have one more movie, dude.
Fuck.
Which it can be like my hush. It just like just rush through it.
Okay, so this movie is called Alucarda, and it was 1975. And what you really need to know about it is that the way queer people have been seen in the past really reinforced negative stereotypes that we were like maybe like Satan worshippers. And like what I found interesting is what the bad character in this movie is Alucarda, and she's in love with another character called Justine. And she's kind of, like, not ashamed of it. She's very proud of it. She's even forced to go to confession where she's like, I'm totally not into that. Like, what's the sin in this? You know, what's the sin in me loving a girl? Like, she's like, there's no sin in loving life. It's you guys that worship death. And I found that completely interesting that, like, queer people worship life, you know? Like, and that was still somehow seen as negative. And she went through, like, the whole movie getting revenge and doing evil things. And I find that interesting about 1975, that what you... And also, the characters were all Latinas. They were Latina characters, and Alucarda is just Dracula spelled in a different, like, way. And it's basically Carmilla, which is a current, like, web series, now become a movie. It's kind of the same, like, premise, like, of a girl that's, I don't know, possessed by Satan, devil, Dracula, who's into another girl. And the only thing evil about her is that she loves a girl, like, she's unashamed of her love for her. And she gets, towards the whole movie, she just gets revenge, and that's, like, the plot. And she's seen as, like, the most evil person, but that's just because she's open and unafraid of her queerness. And the whole movie's been, the whole movie represents the fear of queerness in 1975 and how we're probably evil or some bullshit. Like, that's how we were seen in the 1975. So it's transphobia in 84, it's queer phobia and like the queer fear in 1975. So like, this shit is so real, and it's deeply ingrained in society, the where you were like a little kid and say you watch these movies, like, it's really hard to probably grow out of that perception that being different is like being satanic, or being different should be seen as a sin, and it's not. And problematic movies just reinforce all these negative ass stereotypes. Like, fuck these movies. So I give Alucarda like a 1.2 pan dulce. Like, I like it because that bitch was unashamed of who she was, and that's why it gets 1.2 pan dulces. But the rest of the movie and the way they represented queer people was total shit. Like, sexuality was seen as just so trash. So 1.2 pan dulces.
So there was, like, no plot? It doesn't sound like it was plot. It sounded like she was in love, and then she started killing people.
Yeah, basically, that's the plot. Like, she gets possessed by, like, Satan in a church, and her and Justine are, like, best friends in a church school together, and Justine gets killed by the middle of the movie because she's in love with Alucarda, and they're like, well, let's get the demon out of her, a.k.a. the gayness, so they kill her. And Alucarda is pissed off naturally because it just killed her girlfriend. Like, she's pissed. Also, Alucarda is a little weird and comes out of shadows. But anyways, like, that's the whole plot. Like, she just gets her revenge on literally everyone. And there's, like, a themes of science versus religion, logic versus superstition. Like, the movie actually has so many themes that, like, watching it, like, it's filled with so much symbolism that I can't, like... The religion, the Satan, there's a goat in there. Like, it's just so much happening. Lots of screams that don't need to last 3 minutes. Like, I just fast-forwarded those scenes. But watch it just for the historical context of what it meant to be queer in 1975. And to watch these Latino characters kind of go through it, like, it's bullshit. like 1 point two pan dulces for sure.
Fun fact, all Latinas that are lesbians in 1975, they were actually vampires.
Yep. You didn't know it.
That's complete fact.
It's fact.
Don't at me.
You can at all of us. Don't forever. At me. But yeah, that pretty much sums up like the fear, you know? That's what they were scared of.
That's depressing.
It is really depressing. I was like, fuck, did I really watch this? Like, but, you know, shout out to having all the deep meaning in this movie. Like, shout out to not being ashamed of who you were in 1975, even if you're going to die for it and secretly be chosen to be evil, you know, like portrayed as evil.
Shout out to Carmilla for changing the lesbian vampire game.
Yes.
That movie's coming out soon.
Yeah.
It might already be out.
It was out at like Comic-Con in New York.
Yeah, they did a preview there, premiere, whatever the crap. Mm-hmm. I think it's coming on Netflix, if I'm not mistaken. I'm excited about that.
That is awesome.
Because my Waverly Earp Bay is going to be on there.
Wait, which one?
Waverly Earp.
She's in it?
Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Worth watching.
Can't wait.
But yeah.
So yeah, I hope that was scary for you guys. Happy late Halloween.
It was scary to watch.
It was entertaining.
I was like,
for
shit,
me.
Being gay is like rough back then, man. Fuck that.
Being gay is rough today.
Yeah.
Because I'm hungover.
And you're still drinking.
Yeah. Hair of the dog. So yeah, follow us on the social media, guys. CYC Podcast, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. We are very responsive.
Yeah, and then follow us. Did you already say that plug the Instagram?
Yeah, CYC Podcast on everything. And then if you want to email us on our should have been K characters that we can talk about in our little intros, do so. It's at CYCPodcastMail@gmail.com, or you can DM us on Twitter or Instagram.
Yes.
That's open for you guys. Our personals, she's Fried Papita. I am Maite Panda, MYTE Panda.
Follow us, rate us, subscribe. And meet
yeah,
us in
review
LA.
Us. Yeah, meet us in LA on the 19th. Review us, and that'll make our day and night and week. So,
we love y'all.
Thanks later. For tuning in, and bye.
Bye.